You are listening to the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast, where you discover management insights and strategies for your successful dental practice. There are also interviews with key people in the industry who have advice and services to help you and your team achieve great success. Welcome to this week's episode of the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast. What I thought I would share with you today, because there's a couple of lessons in it, is an experience that I had back many years ago when I owned my own dental practice. This would have been going back possibly, 10, 15 years now. But the couple of lessons are ones that I took with me throughout the rest of my journey of owning my own practice, but also into the other practices that I consulted within. So I'll set the scene for you. I was the practice owner, was also the manager and receptionist at my practice. I had a couple of surgeries with dentists and dental assistants working with them as well. This particular morning, I had two dental nurses on whom had been working with me for a while, and they were fantastic. I loved both their company, although they were really quite different people, but they both happened to be named Joe. So I'll call them Joe 1 and Joe 2. This particular morning, I was arriving at work at around 7:30. I hadn't quite got to the car park as yet, and I got a phone call from one of the Joes, and she was quite upset, and she said, look, Joe has just assaulted me physically in the surgery, and I'm really not happy about it. Of course, me as a practice owner, you think, oh my God, what the hell has happened within those walls so early in the morning? How could things have gotten so out of hand already? The benefit was that I'd already had many years of experience working with people, of course, just in general dental practice life, but certainly more so when I owned the practice. When you own the practice, all responsibility lies on your shoulders. Anything that goes good, bad, indifferent in that place is all your fault. So you do need to take on enormous ownership over what's going on at any particular point in time within the practice and within the team. I was always very intrigued about how to create a fantastic environment for team members, and very intrigued and curious as to how team members reacted, responded, what kind of environment they needed. And so that's the kind of mindset I was coming from when I was managing this particular situation. So the first thing I did, it was nice and early in the morning, 7:30, I contacted the local temp agency who we had a great relationship with. I always wanted to make sure I was at the top of the temp agency's list on people and practices that they wanted to satisfy because we were so awesome to deal with. So we always gave our temp nurses a lot of support and guidance, and we tried to make their days as wonderful as possible. I paid all my temp agency fees on time and treated them with a lot of respect as well. And so I contacted the temp agency. I said, there's a chance that we might need one or two team members today, so just giving you a bit of a heads up. So they started doing a bit of a ring around. By now, I was pulling into the car park of the practice, and the first Joe, the one that had called me, had intimated to me that there was a physical altercation. Now, when that sort of thing happens, I think a lot of us would agree, it's very difficult to come back from that in just a few moments before the patients start turning up for the day. So I did say to Joe number one, grab your bag, come out to the car, tell me exactly what happened. And then I'm going to encourage you to take the day off and take a break, because I'm certainly not going to ask the two of you to work together today after such a big thing has happened this morning. So she came out to the car. She gave me her version. Now, I was very aware that I was not going to get the truth. I was going to get Joe 1's version of the truth, and later on I was going to get Joe 2's version of the truth, and both of them will be skewed with all the stuff that's going on in their brain, which is totally acceptable and totally understandable. And so I came to this situation with a strong awareness that it wasn't up to me to determine exactly what did happen. It would be very difficult for me to determine exactly what did happen. The only way I could do that is if I had video cameras that picked up audio in the surgery when everything rolled out. But I was also aware that it would be important for both of them to get out of their mouth what happened and for me to hear their experience. We often tread water, stamping our feet, saying, listen to me, this is my version. And we're not satisfied the other person has heard us until they have been quiet, they listen through the whole process, and they say to you, I hear you. It reminds me of a quote that I heard somebody once say, the three most powerful words are not I love you, but that I hear you. And so when Jo-1 was relaying the story to me of what her version of reality was, I was nodding my head and encouraging her to speak and not interrupting. I was not turning it into a gossip session. I wasn't passing judgment over either one of the Jo's behaviors. I was just listening to the story. And then at the end of it, I said, thank you so much. I'm also going to be finding out from Jo-2 what's happened. I'm going to be sending her home for the day as well, but I'll be calling both of you later on once I've had a chance to contemplate how to manage the situation, and I'll update you on what's going on. I then walked into the practice and I said, Jo-2, I know that something's happened. Come and sit with me now and tell me what your version of events were. So she came in and she was more animated of the two. She came in and she told me in her animated way of exactly what happened in the surgery. I did the same thing, no passing of judgment, just nodding and encouraging her to get it all out of her mouth. I then said, now I've sent Jo-1 home for the day because it would be difficult for you both to work with one another today. I want you to also get your bag, go home for the day, relax, no one's in trouble, but I will contact you both later on once I've had a chance to contemplate and let you know how we're going to manage the situation. So then she went home as well, called the temp agency. Indeed, we do need 2 temp nurses. And I can't quite remember if we got 1 or 2 and I had to jump into the surgery at some point. I can't quite remember. The main focus of this day was, of course, to figure out how I was going to manage this situation in a way that I kept both these girls happy and they started being happy working with one another again as well. If that couldn't happen, then that brings about a whole other issue. Because in my mind, an effective resolution to this would be that both sides feel like that they were validated and both sides know exactly how to move forward in the future and work well together. Because there was no way, without knowing the absolute reality of what was going on, that I was going to sack one person over another. That would be unfair. And it seemed pretty harsh to sack anyone. Neither of those two Joes had exhibited behavior in the past that was sackable at all. They were both fantastic nurses with a fantastic attitude. They had a really bad morning. And it may have been festering over a period of time, but they certainly had a very bad morning. And I wanted to be able to get over this hurdle and help them over the hurdle and come back into an effective working relationship again. After contemplation throughout the day, I gave each of the Joes a phone call and I delivered exactly the same message of how we were going to manage this situation. They both received exactly the same directions. I said to each of them, what happened this morning was not acceptable. Not acceptable for you as an individual and certainly not acceptable for the practice either. If you would like to continue working at this practice, and I would dearly love you to continue working at this practice, this is how it is going to roll out. You will come to work tomorrow, and I'll be giving the same direction to the other Joe. Come to work tomorrow. When you both arrive, we will be functioning and behaving as per our team culture policy. Two of the aspects are important at this moment. We treat each other with respect and we provide assistance to each other throughout the day. When you see the other Joe tomorrow morning when you arrive for work, you will look her in the eye, smile, and say good morning. I know you won't feel it in your cells. It won't resonate with your soul to be so happy with this person. I get that. But this is the facade that we often have to put on in order to turn up to work and deliver a good performance in front of patients. And so this is what's required of you if you would like to return to work. Then throughout the morning, when you pass each other in the hallway, look each other in the eye and smile. What will not be tolerated is any sneering or ignoring or pushing past each other. One time during the morning, you must go into the other Joe's surgery and offer to do her instruments for her, offer to sterilize her instruments for her. And I'm going to provide the same instruction to the other Joe. And when that happens, I want you to say, yes, thank you. I would appreciate that. When you have lunch, you are free to have lunch in any way you want. You can go out for a drive, go out for a walk, have it on site. That is completely up to you. Then in the afternoon, the same instructions. When you pass each other in the hallways, look each other in the eye and smile, whether you feel like it or not. And then again in the afternoon, offer to do the other person's sterilization on one occasion. And when the other person comes to you and offers it, say, thank you, I would appreciate that. When you finish up at the end of the day, seek the other Joe out, look them in the eye and say, I'm about to go, is there anything I can help you with? And then smile and wish them a good evening. That is what is required of both of you tomorrow. Do you have any questions? Both of them said, oh, it's going to be really hard. And I said, I know, it's going to be really hard, but this is the only way we can work all together tomorrow and for every day coming. If it can't be there authentically, we need to fake it. They both turned up to work that next morning, and huge respect to both of them. They both looked at each other in the eye, smiled and said, good morning. I then went to each of them separately, quietly, and said, I saw what you did this morning. Thank you. That means a lot. Then, as the morning rolled out and they were being respectful with one another when they were passing in the hallways, when they were saying that they would do each other's sterilization and accepting that favor in return, I would then go to them. Every time I saw them move forward with my direction, I went to them and I thanked them for their contribution. I thanked them for the dedication to do what was required to work well together today. Then something happened which I could not have imagined. I certainly didn't plan on it. At lunchtime, they went out and had lunch together because they were over it. They were over it. It went from a physical altercation the previous morning to releasing their attachment to their issues enough that they could go out for lunch together and have a laugh about it. I was amazed. And often I have reflected back over this period of time because they went on to continually work well together. They weren't the best of buddies, but they were back to the way they were functioning with each other in the past, possibly that little bit better, because we all know that from past experiences with relationships. When we can overcome a hurdle, we feel more connected, more engaged with that person than we did before. Both of them said it was the morning smile and wishing each other a good morning that was the hardest bit, then everything else got really easy after that. Both also said that faking it made it far easier to get over their stuff with each other. The two big lessons that I want you to take away from this is lesson number one, there is always three sides to a story. There's Joe one side, Joe two side, and then what really did happen. Joe one side isn't the complete truth, isn't complete reality. Joe's two side isn't complete truth or complete reality. And what really did happen, you'll never know. So as a leader of people, understand that not everyone's going to tell you exactly what happened because it's skewed by all the mental processes, emotional processes in their head. So be satisfied with that. Recognize the value, the power of getting a story out of your mouth to be able to release it to a certain degree. So having people tell you their version is important, even though you are not going to be taking that information in as exactly what happened in the moment. That's not the reason why you get their version. You get their version so they can release their need to be heard. So that's lesson number one, hear people. Let them get it out of their mouth. Let them be heard. Lesson number two, it's not up to us to find out quite often as leaders what exactly did go on. In this particular scenario, in subsequent scenarios that I've been involved in, it has been far easier to manage the situation when you stop focusing on trying to determine exactly what did happen and instead throw your energy behind what should be happening from this point on. To me, that is a far more powerful path to take. Move your focus from trying to find out the truth of the scenario, something that you'll never actually find out what it actually is, and throw all that energy instead into what needs to happen in the future for things to move forward in a positive way. The third lesson around this was the value of the specificity of expectations of behavior. I think if I'd said to Joe 1 and Joe 2, you just have to get along, they may have been waiting for a cue from each other to then start getting along. They may have a different version of what getting along looked like. They may have had a different version of putting forward a good effort to get along, what that meant. For one person, an effort to get along meant just to not criticize the other person. But for another one, an effort to get along means that you actually do smile and speak to that other person with respect. So I think the specificity of when you turn up to work tomorrow morning, when you see each other, I want you to look that Joe in the eye and smile and say good morning. I think that level of specificity really did assist. It assisted the Joes in understanding what my expectations were. It assisted them of giving them a path forward, specific instructions of behavior. It can be such a challenging time when a couple of team members really aren't getting along very well, and there will absolutely be situations out there, either in the past or that have yet to happen, where a physical altercation and the surrounding events have been such that someone must be dismissed on the spot. I was lucky that I didn't have that as my scenario. Everyone deserves to feel in a very protected and safe working environment, certainly free of any violence, for goodness sakes. So I do encourage you to take these three lessons from my particular scenario and consider how they may apply to your leadership style, to your team management style, and to any specific scenario that may come up in the future. It might be helpful. It has certainly helped me and my approach when managing dysfunctional team members in practices that I've consulted at. Like all of our experiences help refine how we manage these sort of situations. So I'll leave you with those three lessons. Someone's version of the truth is never going to be the truth, yet it is very important for them to get it out of their mouth and be heard. Lesson number two, it is not always our job to find out exactly what did happen, what the truth of a situation is. And lesson number three, throw all of your focus toward what must happen in the future to resolve this situation. We can't go back in time and fix things, but we can affect the future and guide people who are involved and support them in creating that resolution themselves. I hope this has been helpful. Have a fantastic day. Bye. Hey, if you enjoyed listening to this episode, you should join the club. The club members receive an online lunch and learn twice a month where I share insights, systems, and strategies to improve the success of your practice. These lunch and learns could not be easier to train your dental team. They are recordings, so you can watch them at a time that suits you. For example, during team lunchtimes, pay your team members for their lunch hour. The first half hour, they're eating and watching the presentation. The second half hour, they're discussing how to implement this particular insight into your dental practice operations. And remember my favorite quote, it's by Archilochus, and he states, "We do not rise to the level of our expectations, but fall to the level of our training." So join the club now and start upskilling your team members and improving the operations of your dental practice. I hope to see you there.